All right, we'll say let's begin. So we remember again as we you brought an extra one. Baruch Hashem. I wanted that. It started with two when he left his house. So again, remember as I mentioned last week, what we'll do in Mirtz Hashem is to be able to go ahead and a little bit of a Maisa from Rabbi Nachman each week and then get into the Vart. So just again, remember up until now we're learning from the Sefer Pulas HaTzadik. So in the Sefer again, the Mechaber Rabbi Nosson discusses about the birth of Rabbi Nachman. So Leidoso Haisa B'Meshbis Leveiso HaBal Shem Tov HaKadosh Zchus Yogen Aleinu B'Cheder She'Avod Avodoso HaKdosha. This is actually quite amazing. Rabbi Nachman was born. Remember again, we spoke about yesterday that Rabbi Nachman's great grandfather was the Baal Shem Tov. So he was the great grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. And amazingly enough, he lived in the house of the Baal Shem Tov. Obviously, the Baal Shem Tov had already passed away. But as we're going to see, that his mother inherited the house from her mother. And so Rabbi Nachman was born in Meshbiz, in the house of the Baal Shem Tov. And in the room where the Baal Shem Tov used to learn and daven. Pretty amazing. Mamish born in the room where the Baal Shem Tov did his avodas akdosha. Ki kodim histalkos a Baal Shem Tov akadosh, zchus yogin aleinu, siva shabayis shalo yimosher liyirushas bito atzadekes maras adol. Because before the Baal Shem Tov passed away, he left the last will and testament that his home should be left to his daughter Adol. Ki b'no atzadik hakadosh reb tzvi, listen to this, hayo bal nechasim. This is very interesting. You know, the Baal Shem Tov had a couple of children. He had a daughter, Adol. So Adol, we'll see, marries again Rabbi Nachman Hari Denker, like we spoke about last week, who was the Talmud Mufak, the primary disciple of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. And he has a son, Reb Tzvi. Reb Tzvi was a businessman. He was a Baal Nechasim. He was very, every tzaddik needs to have a rich relative. It's just the way that it was. Right? You're my rich relative. You're my rich relative. I'm holding interviews for rich relatives. So the position needs to be filled. So Rabbi Nachman had a son, Reb Tzvi, who was a Baal Nechasim. Therefore, Baal Kain, lo hayitzarech hasabayis. Therefore, when the Baal Shem Tov was writing his last will and testament, he was writing his Savah, and he wanted to go out and distribute his property, his son, Reb Tzvi, did not require the home. Therefore, what did he do? He left his home, ultimately, to his daughter, Adol. V'chein, achar kach, masra atzadekes maras Adol, asabayis liyirushas bita, maras feiga. And after Adol passed away, so she went ahead and she left the home, this is the home of the Baal Shem Tov, to her daughter, Feiga. Kishnei baneha hatzadik akadosh Efraim v'atzadik akadosh Baruch Zal hayu manhige Eida, because Adol's two sons who were essentially Rabbi Nachman's great uncles, her two sons were literally manhige Eida. They were leaders of the congregation, and as such v'hayu lahem nechasim, they were wealthy. So Sefton says in the time of old, you know, today. The worst possible position in Jewish communal service is what? Rabbi. No, chas v'shalom. Thank you, Yoda. Thank you. It's just like the president of the shul. Nobody wants to be the president, right? Nobody wants to be the president. So you have to say something. In the old times, when they had a more formal kehila, so to be the head of the kehila was a major, major covet. So Feiga's sons, Reb Ephraim and Reb Baruch, were both manhige Eida. They were leaders of the community, and therefore, again, they had income, they had money. The alkin lo hayutzich mesabayis lachein masra sabayis lebita maras Feiga ulechasna Reb Simcha. Therefore, it turns out amazingly that the house of the Baal Shem Tov goes to his daughter Adol, goes to Adol's daughter Feiga, and becomes the very birthplace of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. The Rebbe born mamish in the study, in the room where the avoda of his great grandfather Baal Shem Tov took place. Good, beautiful idea. So we'll say with that, let's begin to take a look at a beautiful vart from the parasha. So again, still quoting to you again from the sefer Nachalei Devash. So the pasuk says the following. We're on page Kuf Pei Gimel. Sorry. Page Kuf Pei Gimel. So the Rabbi Nachman writes the following. Va'avaretem es Hashem Elokeichem. Good to see you. You will serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your God. He'll go ahead and he'll bless your bread. And he'll bless your water. And he will remove every sickness from your midst. Okay, this is what the pasuk says. Look what the Rebbe says. It's an amazing, amazing idea. When tefillah, when one davens with complete devotion, I will say, now what does it mean to daven with complete devotion? So, you know, if you're a misnagid, so you say, what's the definition of davening with complete devotion?
Not on your phone.
Right? Not looking on your phone. That is absolutely true. Right? So, generally, we assume, right, you know the meaning of the words. Right? Complete devotion, meaning of the words. Truth is, that's not what tefillah is about. A person can have an incredibly impactful tefillah experience and not understand one word that it is that they're saying. The raya to that is, there are generations and generations of Jews who had absolutely no idea about the meaning of the words that they were saying, but at the end of the day, their tefillos were so impactful and so fiery. So what's the definition? Kesha tefillah b'shleimus, haynu shezoch lahargish be'emes, so the Rebbe says, when you daven a tefillah b'shleimus, a complete tefillah, complete tefillah means a tefillah where you understand that anything and everything in life comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything comes from God. There is nothing that is beyond the scope of the Ribono Shel Olam. There is nothing ultimately, again, that emanates from anywhere but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, listen to what Rabbi Nachman says. If a person reaches this level, then something amazing happens. Azai ein tzrichim l'refuos. You do not need any other types of medicinal healing in order to heal you from anything that ails you. Okay, so you understand what Rabbi Nachman is saying? If a person has tefillah b'shleimus, a person has complete tefillah, complete prayer experience, which means, again, we'll see a total and absolute connection and reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even if a person is ill, a person doesn't need refuos. A person doesn't need other external things to heal them because they have HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki kala refuos, heim ayedei asavim. Because remember, again, if you take all medicines, remember, if you go back to the core of medicinal healing, comes back to what? Comes back to herbs, right? And it comes back to all different types of things that grow in the natural world. So where do the asavim, where is it, how is it that the herbs have the ability to heal? Because remember, the Gemara says that each and every blade of grass, each and every herb has a malach that's associated with it. And that malach, what does it do? Every single blade of grass has its own star, its own mazel, a malach. Shemake osev omer lo gidal gidal. Every single blade of grass has its own malach that says, grow, grow. V'chol kochav umazel mekabal koach me'akochavim shalamala mimenu. V'ha'elyon me'ha'elyon mimenu kimo sha'amru. And every single malach and every single star receives its koach from that which is above it. As he writes in the Zohar, kol koch, kol kochavya lovyin don mida. Every kochav, oh, every star receives its power from it. Sara levimin shemaya, the moon receives it from the heavens. Ki gavoa mi'al gavoa. And everything receives its koach from that which is above it. Ad shemekabla me'asarim ha'oyonim, shemekabla mishore shakol, shu divar Hashem, kimo shekosov, bidvar Hashem shamayim nasu, uburuach piv kol tzvom. So we'll say, so as Rabbi Nachman says, and this again is actually quite intuitive. So the Rebbe says, if we understand, like the Gemara says, that every single asev, every single blade of grass, every single herb that grows, it grows, why? Because there's a malach, there's a koach, there's a spiritual force that's forcing it to grow. And that spiritual force endows it, endows that grass, endows that herb with certain qualities. And sometimes those qualities are restorative, rehabilitative, healing qualities. But where does all of that koach come from? Comes from HaKadosh Baruch. So we'll say, this is very similar to what we learned last week. You remember again, so we saw last week, we spoke about simcha, and you could experience this type of simcha, this type of simcha, this, all different types of simcha. But if you want to experience the totality of simcha, what do you have to do? You have to go back to the source. You have to go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rebbe is saying the same thing over here. So this Esav could give you this refuah, and this Esav could give you this refuah. This blade of grass does this, this blade of grass. Every single blade of grass does something. Because it's mekabel, it's koach, it receives its energy, it receives its power, its qualities from the malach, from the kochav. But there's a way to get all of that, and that's how to go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, certain degree, I could skip the middlemen, which are all the parts of the natural world, and I can go right back up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at the second paragraph. V'eschalkus hakochos shezeh esef, yesh lekoach lerefuos, lerapos, or lerefuas, lerefuos cholas ploni, v'zos cholas ploni ukiyotzi bazeh, kol chiluki kochos seim hurak lamata. So remember again, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the natural world is how, that there are certain items that have certain abilities. So let's say you have a particular herb, and this herb could go ahead and cure a particular ailment. That's the koach that that herb has. But the interesting part is, herb A doesn't have the qualities of B, B doesn't have the qualities of C. Each one is separate and distinct in its own right. But he says, avalamala, so that's here on this earth. Avalamala b'shor shakol echot. But if you go up to Shamayim, you see something amazing, which is that the source of every single unique quality that every distinct blade of grass possesses, all comes back to HaKadosh Baruch. Meaning, what Rabbi Nachman is pointing out over here, again, it's the same theme as last week, which is, as much as down here on the earth, so each blade of grass and each item in the natural world has its own unique, distinct identity. If you follow the trail, it leads you up to Shamayim, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's ultimately where all the different kohos, all the different energies and all the different powers, all the different traits and characteristics of this world, all coalesce in one place. And it's all with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything comes from Hashem. Therefore, by definition, when you get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have the ability to access everything simultaneously. He says, when you go up to Shamayim, Ein chilik bein lechem umayim, ubein asavim, ki kulam mekablam medivar Hashem. So the truth is, when you go up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you connect to the Ribono Shel Olam, everything in this world to a certain degree is exactly the same. What do I mean by that? You see, down here, herb A does this, herb B does this, there's bread that does this, there's water that does this. Every single thing in this world has a different characteristic. But when you come back up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's where, again, like we said before, everything coalesces there. And when you get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's where you get to the root and the source of every single thing in Israel. Meaning, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no difference between herb A and herb B, and herb C and herb D, and bread and water. Everything is one. It's just when HaKadosh Baruch Hu dispenses his Shefa, when he dispenses his divine energy to this world, that energy ultimately trickles in different directions. And when it trickles in different directions, that's when it manifests itself as separate entities in this world. He goes on, Utfila hu divar Hashem. Prayer itself, remember again, is the Divar Hashem. Is the word he's quoting over here based on the pasuk, Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Naasu, with the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the heavens were created, Uberuach Piv Kol Tzvam, and ultimately through the breath of his mouth, all the hosts of the heaven. So tefillah, listen to this beautiful idea, tefillah is the Dvar Hashem. Now the truth is, that sounds strange to us. Why does that sound strange to us? Right. What do you mean tefillah is Dvar Hashem? Tefillah is my words. Is my word to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are you saying that tefillah is the word of God? Listen to how beautiful this is. Dahainu. Get ready for this. Kisha adam mispalel bidveikus. When a person goes ahead and davens with tveikus. Rabbi says, so what's tveikus? So tveikus ultimately means, and this is the essence of tefillah. The idea of tveikus, Rabbi says, means, you know, there's two times in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses, the Torah uses lashon of tveikus. Like the first time we see it is by marriage. Al kein ya'azov ish es aviv ve'es imo v'davak be'ishto. Therefore, a man will leave his father and mother, and he will cling to his wife. And I will say, and by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says v'davak tabo. You will cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why the same verb by marriage and by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because the truth is, it's the same yisod. We'll say, what's the secret? What's the secret to a successful marriage? One's wife has to be the center of your universe. If your wife is not the center of your universe, then at the end of the day, it's not going to be shalom. It's not going to be good. Why? Now again, doesn't mean that a husband could go ahead and not do anything but focus on his wife. But somehow it's a husband's job to make his wife feel that she is the center of you. That's Dveikus. Dveikus means that in my totality, I'm attached to you. In my totality, I'm connected to you. So what's Dveikus Bashem? Dveikus Bashem means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I give myself over in totality to you. I'm yours. I am your servant. Ki ani avdecha ben amasecha. I'm yours, Yibono Sha'olam. So when a person davens, b'dveikus, v'nichlal, kiviyachol, bo yisbach, and we'll say, here's the great part. See, just like when the Torah says, v'davak b'ishto. Davak b'ishto. So Rashi says, na'asin echad. Husband and wife become one. You see, dveikus is the process where it's no longer me and it's no longer you, but it's us. We become one entity. Same thing with dveikus v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person has the ability to lose himself in God. Truth is, we'll say, it's the highest of the high. The ability to go ahead and reach that state where I lose myself in the Ribono Shel Olam. I'm just subsumed. I walk into the Heichal, I walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, I walk in with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and just simply, I want to lose myself in Him. I want to become enveloped by His embrace. That's called Dveikus. So watch this. When a person is able to reach this level of Dveikus, the Nichlal Kiviyachol Bo Yisbarach, which means that a person like almost is literally absorbed within HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Azai Hadibor Atzman Heim Adiburim Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do you hear this? When you daven with Dveikus and you are absorbed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then what Rabbi Osai? The truth is, I can't tell the difference between what? Between what's my words and between what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words. So literally the words that are coming out of my mouth are as if what? As if they're coming out of the mouth of the Ribono Shel Olam. That's what it means when the Pasuk says, Bidvar Hashem, Tefillah is Dvar Hashem. What does it mean? Because true Tefillah, true prayer, which is Dveikus, I'm coming one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you become one with something, you fuse with that other entity and you become one total entity, then it turns out that it's not my words and your words, it's our words. So when I speak, it's still HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words coming out of my mouth. He goes on. He says, When a person is able to reach the level of Dvar Hashem, where a person is able to daven in a way that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you hear this level, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words coming out of my mouth. That's Dveikus. Dveikus means I'm so interconnected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're so intertwined that literally it's His words coming out of my mouth. In that case, Yochol Lahamshich Es Kochos HaRefua Afilu Lesoch Lechem Umayim. In that case, Rabbi Osai, a person is able to find refuah. A person is able to find healing even in what? Even in bread and even in water. What does that mean? That when you go ahead and you connect with the source, and there's a level of dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and my words are his words are my words, I tap into an energy that transcends the physical world. I tap into an energy that is not divisive in this world. The Shefa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is diffused. Right? There's some koach that goes here, there's some koach that goes there, this herb does this, this item does that. But when I have dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm connecting with undiffused, I don't know if undiffused is a word, but not a diffused energy. I'm connecting with the totality of the Ribono Shel Olam's koach. When I tap into that koach, the truth is I have the ability to bring about refuah through lechem or through mayim, through better, through water, in the same way that you have the ability to bring about healing through the most unique of herbs. He goes on, he says, Kimo Shekasov, Yishlach Devaro V'yir Poim, Dahainu, So beautifully says the Rebbe something absolutely amazing. That what? When a person connects with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, has dveikus, then a person doesn't connect to diffused shefa, diffused energy of God, but rather a person has the ability to connect with the energy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in its totality. A person is able to tap into a level of divine power that's unparalleled, to the point that a person could affect certain changes in reality above the norm of the common world, that of the regular world, that a person is able to tap into dynamics that are different in this world. You want this healing, you go to this ace, if you go to this herb. You want this healing, go to that herb. But you have Tveikas Tachlish Baruch Hu, I don't have to go through any one herb. Instead, I get my healing, I get my refuah from the source itself. V'zeh perish. V'avaretem es Hashem Elokeichem. So the Rebbe says, this is the pshat in the pasuk. You shall serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your God. U'beirach es lachmecha ve'esmeimecha. V'hasirosi machala mikerbecha. You will serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your God. And He will bless your bread and your water. And I will remove from you, I will remove every machala, every illness from within you. So says the Rebbe, what's the pshat in the pasuk? Sha'al yidei v'avaretem es Hashem Elokeichem. Through serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what's Avoda? What does it mean to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Avoda, zu tfila. Remember again, that the Gemara tells us. Ula avdo b'chol v'avichem. The Gemara says, Ezohi Avoda. So what's Avoda? That's tfila. Turn the page. Azai, and I've also remember, what does tfila mean? Tfila, sorry, if you don't have a sheet. Sorry, sitting here without a sheet. So remember again, tfila, remember, it doesn't just mean tfila. What does tfila mean? Tfila means tfila dvekos. Dveikos. So this is what the pasuk says. V'avaretem es Hashem Elokeichem. When you will serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, avoda is tefila, but real tefila is tefila bedveikos. Tefila where I lose myself in the Ribono Shel Olam. I become one kivyachol with God. My tefila is called Devar Hashem. The word of God is literally coming through my mouth because v'hayu lebasar echad, we're becoming one entity fused together. Then what? Azai, says Rabbi Nachman. I will bless your bread, I will bless your water, and I will remove all illness from your midst. So what the Rebbe was bothered by the whole time when this pasuk was, what does it have to do, God's going to bless my bread, bless my water, what does that have to do with removal of illness? To which the Rebbe says, Shiyihya lechem umayim koach lerapos, the idea ultimately is that the bread and the water will have the same medicinal abilities as what? As the herbs themselves. The idea that it's such a beautiful yisod, the idea that Torah is telling us is like this. It was like, there are two ways you could live life. Two ways. These are the only two ways. You could live life b'soch hateva, or you could live life l'malem min hateva. You could live life embedded in nature, or you could live life above nature. I will say, now the truth is, and neither is wrong. Neither is wrong. Meaning if a person decides to live in nature, of course that's their practice. The person will be a very good Jew. The Rebbe is saying there's another option. The other option in life is don't live within nature, but rather transcend it. How do you transcend it? So again, there are many answers to this, but one of the simple ways, in the simple, nothing simple about this, one of the ways in which you transcend nature is dvekus. It's dveikus. When a person gives himself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I want to be clear, giving yourself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not mean, you know, I'm going to some cave somewhere, right? And I'm going to go ahead and swear off the pleasures of this world and I'm just going to meditate all day on a hilltop. I mean, there are days when that sounds good, don't get me wrong. But that's not what it means. Dveikus means, I say, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm yours. I'm the Avdecha. I want to serve you. I want to be with you. I want to be close to you every single moment of every single day. Shavi Hashem v'negdi summit. I want to lose myself in you. But I'll say it's the same way that when you love someone very much, all you want to do is you want to be in their company. You just want to be with them. You just want to experience. We don't have to talk. We just want to be together. That's dveikus. So that's emotional. That's all they want. And it says there is something amazing. When I have dveikus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's va'avaretem es Hashem Elokeichem. When there's avoda, when there's dveikus, something amazing happens. I transcend the realities of this world. You see, when I live in the realities of this world, I need this herb to cure this disease, this herb to cure this disease, and this herb to cure this disease. But something amazing happens. When you live a life of transcendence, when you live a life ultimately of dveikus, so you could find all of that healing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To which Ribono Shel Olam says, because you're going ahead and you're tapping into me, so your bread and your water is no different than all of the herbs. Tap into the source. Tap into the source, and you can derive all of the benefits of the source instead of going ahead and having to try to derive the benefit from the diffused manifestations of the source in this world. An incredible yisod that Rebbe is teaching us. You can either live besoch ha-teva, or you could live lemala min ha-teva. You could live in the natural world, or you could choose a life of dveikus. Again, both work, but a life of dveikus gives us access to undiffused koach of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So listen to this. He adds in a story. This is like bonus material. So look at this. Besof Yom Av Shara Abeinu Zichrono Livracha. At the end of Rabbi Nachman's life, Kishahayelo Machlas Hareya. Rabbi Nachman, you know, had tuberculosis. And he ultimately dies of tuberculosis. They call Machlas Hareya a disease of the lungs. Hayadako Lisa Chutzliir. He used to often travel outside of Brazil. You know what I'm about to say? Uman, the whole story of Rabbi Nachman's burial in Uman is a very strange story. Rabbi Nachman never lived in Uman. He was just asked to be buried in Uman, which we'll get to in the Mir session one day, we'll discuss that. So in Brezhnev, he used to go out of the city sometime, just like to get a little bit of fresh air, I guess to help this tuberculosis. Upam achas lakach ito es tamidav morenu harav Rabbeinu Nasan v'Rabbi Naftali. He took two of his disciples, Rabbi Nasan and Rabbi Naftali. I don't know who Rabbi Naftali is, but one of his disciples. They came, they checked into an inn, and the innkeeper gave them some cheese to eat. Rabbi Naftali hayelo gam kin choli hareya. Rabbi Naftali also had tuberculosis. Kimo l'Rabbeinu. V'hu zichrono livracha, Rabbi Naftali, lo ratzu le'echol machmas shemazik l'cholos hazos. So apparently, milchiks, dairy, cheese, is detrimental to tuberculosis. So this is a mefurish ra'ayah against milchiks. Just you should see. This is, you know, if nothing else, you mamish see it's minagavasina biyadenu. So apparently, again, the milchiks agitates the tuberculosis, whatever it is. So what happens? Rabbi Nachman is not going to eat the cheese. Rabbi Naftali is not going to eat the cheese. Rabbi Nasan Baruch Hashem is fine, but he doesn't want to eat the cheese if the other two are unable to. Listen to this. Rabbi Nachman turns to Rabbi Naftali and he says, Naftali, eat the cheese. You'll be fine. Anal Rabbi Naftali ata omerli kishe Rabbeinu yomerli azai yomer lo Rabbeinu sheyochal imar Rabbi Nasan. So what happens? Rabbi Naftali, he's obviously a little bit reticent. He doesn't want to exacerbate the tuberculosis. But the Rebbe says, eat it. Eat it. Eat the cheese. Enjoy the cheese together with Rabbi Nasan. So what happens? Listen to this. So Rabbi Naftali eats the cheese. V'achar kach kishanasu b'chazor le'ir hishtal Rabbi Naftali. So they leave the inn. They're coming back to the city. And as they're coming back, Rabbi Naftali begins to cough. Rabbi Nachman said, "Hari Isem, ein zek var klal, osa shiel kimikodem." Do you hear Rabbi Naftali's cough? The cough sounds better than it did before. So we'll say, "Hear what's happening over here." So remember, Rabbi Naftali came out to the inn with tuberculosis. He ate the cheese, which should have made the tuberculosis worse. He's still coughing a little bit, but says Rabbi Nachman, "You hear, Rabbi Naftali? You hear the cough? Your cough is so much better than it was before." So listen to this. He says, "Can we call them ani chashavti shi pata lefanai?" So the truth is, Rabbi Nachman said, "Naftali, I was so sure that when you ate the cheese, the tuberculosis would be totally cured. I was so sure." So what's the pshat? Vehavinu bidvarav shebezeha ma'achal himshich lo refu lemachalasu. What they understood was that the Rebbe had certain kavanas when Rabbi Naftali was eating that cheese. And those kavanas had the ability to cure Rabbi Naftali from his tuberculosis. V'az ba'osa Rosh Hashana, amar es ha-Torah hazu, v'sham nisba'er shi'echolun lahamshich es kochos ha-refuah, v'soch kol dover ma'achol. So they used to tell over the story about Rabbi Nachman, that's what I told over the story, and what's the point of the story of Bosai? That when you tap into the source, you could bring down the shefa. You could bring down the divine energy in so many different ways. To the point that Rabbi Nachman had the ability to bring down the Shefa for Refuah to where? Ultimately, again, into Milchiks. Even into Milchiks. Whoever thought there could be Shechina in Milchiks? But somehow he was able to bring down the Shechina even into the Davar HaMazik. Even into the very object that would normally cause the sick individual harm, Rabbi Nachman, through his kavanos, was able to turn it into a vehicle of refuah. So Rabbi says, so what do you see from here? Something absolutely amazing. So what's the chap? The chap is that when, so Rabbi says, here's the fundamental distinction we have. And here's the fundamental choice we have. In life, you could either live b'socha teva, or you could live l'malam in teva. You could live in nature, and if you live in nature, it's fine. You have to understand that Rosh Hashanah planted his shefa, planted his energy in all different things. So if you take this herb, it'll have this result. That herb, it'll have that result. And if you combine them, they'll have this result. That's fine, but there's an alternative. The alternative is dveikus. And in that alternative, where you just give yourself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you just lose yourself in his warm embrace, something amazing happens. You have access to all of the kochos together, not in their diffused form, but in their together coalesced form. And when you connect with all of those combined kochos, then a person has the ability to go ahead and accomplish great things. And I think I just want to end off with this. I think this is an incredible yisod also. You know, sometimes in life, there's something we need. There's something we need. And we often dive into our Kodesh Baruch Hu to go ahead and give us that particular need. And perhaps the muster is that sometimes in life, what I actually have to do is not daven for a particular thing, but I have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help me reach a level of dveikus. Because what do we see from this idea? Where there's dveikus, you have access to everything. You know, sometimes I'm asking for this, or I'm asking for that, and I'm asking so small. I'm asking so small. I'm asking for a little nugget of something, but I could have the whole Shemaim. I could have all of the heavens. That's the yisod of Rabbi Nachman in life. Don't settle for living b'socha teva. Don't settle for living within nature. Rather, strive for transcendence. Strive for dveikus. Strive to have a tefillah that's ultimately divar Hashem. And if we're able to do that, then we don't just connect with diffused koach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we're able to connect. We're able to connect, and we're able to harness all of the beautiful kochos of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right, the boss, we'll stop over here.
Can we get into a question of like balancing hishtaglos with bitachon?